This is Medicaid Leadership Exchange, a podcast where Medicaid directors and other guests get frank about what it's like to steward the nation's largest health insurance program. Through Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, 56 agencies administer a complex web of programs that provide access to essential health services. Listen in as we explore some of the challenges Medicaid leaders navigate and their top priorities to deliver services and build health.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Kate McAvoy, the Executive Director of the National Association of Medicaid Directors. Today, we will explore the relationship between the executive and legislative branches of state government in ensuring that Medicaid is administered effectively and efficiently. This topic resonates with me as a former Medicaid director because there are so many ways that the partnership can enable, for instance, new initiatives. A topic that's highly relevant right now is services to people with autism. And I vividly remember when we were first rolling out that package of services, needing enabling legislation, crucially important appropriations of state match, and then really the process of gathering everyone together, folks with autism, their families, advocates, through the Medicaid Oversight Council, to talk about creating a network of providers, the definition of the service, through a highly collaborative process that anticipated where there might be pitfalls and made the rollout as successful as possible. So just one example, and we're going to hear a number of really important other pieces from our guests today. I am thrilled to be here with my co-host, Mark Larson. Mark is the Senior Vice President of Leadership and Capacity Building at the Center for Healthcare Strategies. Mark happens also to be both a former Medicaid director and a state legislator, so abundantly qualified to help moderate this discussion. Mark, may I turn to you to introduce our guests?
Yes, Kate, it's lovely to be co-hosting with you. As you point out, Kate, as former legislator and Medicaid director, this is a session that I'm very excited for, and we have three wonderful people to join us today. We have Todd Richardson. Todd is former Medicaid director from the state of Missouri, long-serving Medicaid director, and prior to his role as director, also served as a legislator in the Missouri House of Representatives, including a stint as Speaker of the House.
Thanks, Mark. Really excited to have the opportunity to join you all for this conversation today.
Yes, welcome. We're also pleased to have with us Christine Osterlin. Christine is Kansas Medicaid Director, and prior to serving in her role as Medicaid Director, has been working with Medicaid programs through the private sector in a variety of different partners, including Maximus. Christine also is one of those folks who has the pleasure of having served in two state Medicaid programs, both in Kansas and in Florida. Christine, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Mark. It's great to join you and Kate and our other guests this morning and looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, welcome. And our third guest, Senator Pat Petty. Senator Petty is currently serving in the Kansas Senate, representing the 6th District. She's been there since 2013. Which is impressive. She's also had the experience of working at the county level, as well as serving a period of time in the Kansas House of Representatives. As a former House member, I always welcome folks who've served in the People's House. And an educator for 38 years, which is an impressive track record of public service. Senator Petty, welcome.
Thank you, Mark, and I'm honored to be here.
Well, welcome to all three of you. Kate, if I might start us off with our first question.
Yes. Really, from a foundational standpoint, what is your perspective on the role of the legislative branch in administering the Medicaid program?
Well, Kate, I think the legislature has an incredibly important role in the oversight of Medicaid, in setting policy priorities, and obviously funding the program. Regardless of every state's Medicaid program and legislature are different, but the thing that's the same is Medicaid is always the largest segment of the state's budget. It's always the most complex and difficult to administer program in state government. So that's consistent. And so that means that the legislature has a really, really significant role in setting those policy priorities and making sure that the agency has the resources it needs to effectively accomplish the program's goals. And to me, that's twofold. It's not just the programmatic expenses for the services that Medicaid's providing, but it's also making sure that the agency has the resources to do its job really, really well. And so recognizing the importance of that role is important. They don't necessarily, you know, have the capacity or the ability all the time to get to the really detailed pieces of administering the program, but that role of oversight, accountability, and priority setting is really, really important.
And Pat, how does that resonate with you? I think Todd pulled a lot of important threads of what is involved for the legislatures.
Yeah, I would agree with Todd. However, in Kansas, actually, education is a larger funder than Medicaid. But right, that partnership is so important. Definitely the policy priorities and the funding. And I'm going to throw in the word respect, because that seems to be a challenge now, of having respect for the training and the background that not only the director needs to have, but all of those that are involved with administering the program, and understanding that we need that in order to have a well-functioning program that works from a logistic, and also I think that is economically affordable.
Pat, I love that theme that you're sounding around the engagement with the state staff who have this deep expertise in the program operations. Christine, that's your life on a day-to-day basis. How are you resonating with what you've heard so far?
Yeah, I actually agree with everything that both Todd and Pat have, you know, stated. And, you know, I think it's Medicaid is just in its nature extremely complex. And the costs continue to grow, and it puts both not only the legislature in a tough spot when there's tough budget times and you're trying to balance all the priorities of the state, with Medicaid obviously always taking a big chunk of that. You know, you're trying to balance needs across many programs, many areas of government that are vitally important to citizens. I mean, you know, you look across the country and you think about how different each Medicaid program is, because there's so many wonderful things that you can do in the Medicaid space, and yet trying to set those priorities jointly, utilizing the expertise of the Medicaid team, balanced with, though, I think a legislative perspective of looking across the whole state spectrum and not just, you know, my view is my program. And I think the legislature, you know, comes with that view of the entire state funding needs and trying to find that right balance.
I mean, you've all mentioned in different ways the complexity of the program and its breadth, whether it's first, second. I mean, most states, it's up there as one of the top budget items, impacting so many different people. We have this design of government that includes executive branch and the legislative branch. They both have their constitutional obligations. And when we talk about how we navigate those roles, there's an inherent tension that exists, and it's there by design as a check and balance. And that is regardless of the political makeup of a state. We see that tension play out with things like the rural health transformation funding these days. I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about that tension. And Pat, I wonder if we could start with you. Where do you see it the most, and how do you handle it?
Well, it's pretty hard to handle at times. And I think where I see it the most is that crossover between the staff who has the expertise and the legislature who has the pressure from their constituents to have services or have expanded services. And then the ability to take that expertise that comes through the professionals and balance that. Because sometimes we as legislators, as policymakers, believe just because we have a piece of information that we know more. And so that often can push for an imbalance. You mentioned the rural health transformation funding. And of course, we in Kansas, you know, are recipients of that. But yet it has stringent timeline on it. and we want to be able to be a recipient more than just for a year. And we know that it has to be committed and in a very short period of time. And yet the policymakers, the legislators, have pushed for more of a voice. And so that's becoming an area where I think we continually have to think about how can we be informed and be a part, but yet understand that it takes expertise to be able to make everything happen in this case, in a very constrained and short period of time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate the importance of the technical expertise, but also that sense that legislators are bringing their expertise about the constituents in their districts. Christine, I wonder if we could turn to you and how have you experienced that tension? You know, how do you manage it from the executive branch side?
Thanks for that question. And it is hard. I mean, you know, you'd like to kind of sugarcoat it, but it really is difficult. And, you know, it's difficult because when the legislature is made up of people with a lot of different perspectives, and whether that be, you know, you're a supporter of Medicaid expansion or you're not in support of Medicaid expansion, you know, your district is rural versus urban. And you know, there's just... Even one single committee is filled with people coming at Medicaid from a variety of philosophical backgrounds and even agendas of where they want to see the Medicaid program go. And I think as, you know, the Medicaid director and our staff over here, it is difficult because there are times we have to say no. You can't do that. And I think legislators kind of struggle with that complexity of Medicaid that while we have some flexibility at the state level, most of the time you do not. It's kind of dictated from the federal level down. And as we've all kind of said, it's a very complex program. So trying to educate legislators, be very forthright and transparent and factual, and yet knowing that at times they're coming even from a very philosophical, different place than I am. And you know, trying to bring all of that together to at the end of the day, come to a direction for the program that we all, at least at some level, agree with. And that is it is a very difficult place to operate because there are times I know I'm going in front of a committee and the information that I'm going to share is not going to be received well. And that's not saying I'm right and they're wrong or they're right and I'm wrong. It's just we have differences of opinions and those make for some very difficult conversations and just trying to, you know, kind of keep that factual. And, you know, again, everybody's trying to do the best they can. And I think that's just a perspective that my staff and I try to very much keep in the forefront of our mind is that everybody's trying to do what's best for their constituents. We're trying to do what's best for our members. We're all coming at it from a viewpoint of no one's trying to do harm. And so then how do we try to find that common ground to be able to move the program forward in the way that's best for Kansas?
Can I just jump back in for a minute?
Please.
I mean, I love everything Christine says. I would just say, I think sometimes from a policy perspective, and it was mentioned earlier that every state program is different, is not exactly the same. And that sometimes becomes a poison pill because what is happening in Idaho or how they're achieving their goal is not exactly the same as what is happening in Kansas. But yet a legislator can say, well, Vermont was able to do this going after a waiver and they did it in this period of time, or they believe they know that it happened in a certain period of time. Why can't we and why aren't we? And so I think that also is a factor that comes into play. So we as policymakers need to be informed, but sometimes we don't really know all the complexities or the amount of work that it's going to take in order to move forward, say, with the 1115 waiver.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Todd, you have a unique perspective because, I mean, nobody knows what it's like to balance the facts and figures as well as the, you know, quirky nature of individuals like a Speaker of the House. But you've also, you know what the operations and the technical details of a Medicaid program are. I'm curious your thoughts about this executive legislative branch tension and, your experience navigating it?
Mark, first, I think all of the comments from Christine and Pat really resonate. Legislators and executive branch are not starting on the same plane in terms of where they're coming at the program. Legislators are asked to be an expert on 1,000 issues a day and to make important decisions on those issues. And there's just not, this is not in any way a criticism, there's just not the time or the capacity to be able to understand the program at the level that the experts in the agency have. So Senator Petty's comments really, I think, on that point resonate. I think for me, it's first acknowledging that that tension is most of the time constructive. It's the way the system is designed and handled right. That tension can make the program better, and it can increase the understanding and awareness of what the program, how the program is operating, and where it's operating well and where it's not. I think I've seen that tension most on situations where the timelines for things are either longer or shorter than people expect or want. I think the Rural Health Transformation Program is a perfect example of one of those situations where the timelines are much shorter than people want. You know, the normal process of setting budgets would be, you know, at least here in Missouri, would be legislature's going to come back in January. They're going to get their full run of session to consider the state's priorities. And you know, with a program like RHTP, you don't really have that, even the opportunity for the legislature to weigh in before the agency had to submit the application. Then there's the converse of that is situations where timelines are a lot longer than people want or expect. You know, I know, you know, situations where our General Assembly has appropriated money for system modernization, and they expect once the appropriation is done that we ought to have, you know, our new system up and running in a couple of months, where you know, the implementation timelines are going to be obviously a lot longer than that. So there's tension that comes in part because people are accessing the program at a different from different places. But I think acknowledging that tension is constructive helps to manage it. But then really focusing, and I think Christine, you know, made this point that there are shared goals between the General Assembly and the executive branch side of this. You know, Medicaid is one of the few policy areas where what people are trying to achieve, regardless of political spectrum, regardless of whether they're in the legislature or they're in the agency, that what they're trying to achieve is the same thing, which is a program that produces really good results for the participants, but does so in a way that's financially sustainable for the state. So I think dealing with that tension by focusing on the shared goals and then really making sure that the communication and the education, you know, both directions is happening at a high level helps to keep that tension constructive rather than turning it into something that's not.
I'm excited by how much you all have illuminated both the differences in frames of reference, kind of scope, altitude from issues, you know, contrasting the fact that policymakers necessarily have to be generalists looking at all domains of the state budget and knitting those features together, by contrast to Medicaid directors who have that very specific locus of responsibility, admittedly a large part of the budget. Excited to see you contrast that so constructively, but also, you know, talk about commonalities of mission and motivation centrally around service to people and the outcomes that they deserve. So I think that's a great leaping off point, especially what you said, Todd, about learning to speak the same language and communicating literacy building. Christine, you are now considered to be a pretty long-serving Medicaid director in the average tenure of directors. We have seen about 25 people take on this role as new directors over the last year. So very large cohort of folks who are approaching that leadership role for the first time. Really wanted to ask your perspective on how you think about that relationship with policymakers like Senator Petty. What advice you'd have tactically, especially thinking about maybe not just the session, but other points during the year for relationship building. So love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think relationship, and I think that's just the key word, is thinking of it broader than just session and taking time with key legislators to really build a relationship. We have an oversight committee that Pat mentioned, and it's very important in Kansas that we have a relationship with each of those serving members on that committee, because they're the ones that are really knee-deep into Medicaid. That committee needs to be able to trust that when I'm standing in front of them as Medicaid director, that I'm going to be factual, transparent. You know, if we've messed up, you know, we've messed up, and this is what we're going to do to fix it. But there has to be that, I think, that relationship and that trust. But then you contrast that with, you know, committees or legislators that you may be in front of one time a year because they really don't deal in Medicaid, but for some reason, some bill that just brings in this tiny portion of Medicaid, and you're a stranger. And Medicaid to them is a foreign language. And so, you know, you really then have to be very strategic on how do I provide enough background around Medicaid in this particular space that they at least have some level of a foundation, which is hard to do in a, you know, 10, 15, 20 minute presentation in front of a committee. But that right balance, again, of giving them enough of a foundation so they have enough information to make a sound decision, knowing that there's no way they're going to even really remotely grasp the Medicaid program. And so you have to be able to wear, I think, a lot of different hats with the legislature, depending on, you know, the situation, but you really have to find out, and even on the budget side of again, that's an important place to have a relationship where you can have sometimes some difficult conversations. Again, I think Kansas, like most states, budgets are really tight right now. And when I'm in front of the Ways and Means Committee or in a meeting one-on-one with the legislator on a budget committee, you know, of recognizing that we have to come to the table with some solutions as well. It can't always be with ask of, you know, because of course we'd love to do everything in Medicaid, but, you know, being able to engage in problem solving that if they come to me and say, listen, you know, this is where we really need to end at the end of the day, you know, with a Medicaid budget, you know, what can we do? How can you help us? And really engaging in that conversation, you know, truthfully and respectfully and factually of, again, because it has to be that give and take relationship.
I so appreciate pointing to the opportunities there. It can tend not to feel collaborative if everyone is struggling with budget constraints. And I think that's a really great aim that can translate into a kind of specific strategic approach on both sides. So wonderful to hear that. Todd, we've been remarking you wear both hats in this conversation. What would you do to build on what Christine said about advice to fellow directors who are perhaps newly embarking on relationships with policymakers?
First, Kate, I just reinforce Christine's point on trust. Building trust is the most important thing. It's the most important currency that you have in the communication between the legislature and the agency. So really focusing in on, you know, working to build that trust. The education function that we've all talked a little bit about, being able to get to a point where there's a common understanding of either what's happening in the program or what's in the universe of possible, you know, is really a really important piece for Medicaid directors to focus on with their legislatures. And I think, you know, the one point I'd add is, well, maybe two. First is being able to use data effectively, I think, is important. The ability to use the data that you have, that you're able to look at more deeply than the data that the legislature is going to have, either through what's, you know, publicly available or nationally reported, is really helpful to that communication and trust building. But then I think Christine hit on this with sort of legislators who are intersecting with the program in different places. The willingness to go a cut deeper with those members who have expressed interest in having, you know, a bigger role with the program, or who sit in positions either on oversight committees or budget committees, but who have that willingness to go deeper for Medicaid directors to, you know, take them up on that offer and to do that, you know, deeper dive that maybe you're not doing with all the members because they're focused on other things.
So helpful to think about that being tailored and also opportunities to craft that in advance of the session, you know, for instance, through an informational hearing or something of that kind that would, you know, happen at a time before you're kind of in that hothouse of the session. So very, very useful advice.
And Kate, one other thing I might share there is, and I think we've hit on it a little bit, but it's don't be afraid to share bad news. You know, it's important to be proactive. If something is from a timeline perspective, not happening the way that you thought it was going to or the way that you represented that it might, don't be afraid to share that bad news. It will always be more well taken if you're proactively explaining, you know, what didn't go well and why than if you're being asked about it later.
Well, Kate, I always feel like we need to say how lucky we are to be able to have these conversations with folks who are as interesting and cool as our guests today. Somebody mentioned that, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of noise. Todd, I think you also framed there's a basic, we want Medicaid programs to provide really good results in a way that's sustainable to states. We do that in the context of a historic system that includes attention. And one of the things that stands out to me today is that when people put on the titles and the costumes of legislator, Medicaid director, I mean, it comes with a whole bunch of weight, but a theme that I hear from the three of you is this notion that as we navigate that tension, as we try to turn conflict into constructive, creative solutions, it really comes down to we are all human trying to do the best that we can and being open to that, leaning into building relationships, building that trust, but also being willing to be influenced and be trusted. I'm reminded of just how important that human element of the leadership work, regardless of which seat you're coming from and which title you hold, how important that is. So I appreciate you all lifting that up for us.
Christine, Todd, Pat, just heartfelt thanks for a really wonderful conversation. We're grateful. Thank you to everyone who is listening, and we urge you, please stay tuned for future conversations of the Medicaid Leadership Exchange.
This podcast is a collaboration between the Center for Healthcare Strategies and the National Association of Medicaid Directors. It is made possible by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.